Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Good afternoon, folks. It's Friday the 14th. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters. I'm joined by Nick and Nate. And today we're going to be talking about how Hassan Piker has gone on a nice trip to China. And it was a lot funnier than I expected it to be. We're going to be asking, where'd all the money go in Ukraine? We poured billions into Ukraine. Where did all that go, actually? And then we're going to talk about the reaction to Rupert Lowe saying, you know what, guys? There is something we can do about the evil murderers that we have in prison.
Yeah, we used to have an idea.
And the reaction to that was honestly pretty revealing, frankly. I mean, like, and it's a great example of how we are not represented by our own parliament. But before we begin, Blood for the Blood God has sent us another $200 super chat, which reads, who told you guys in the back room you can sober up? Well, that's true. They were starting to sober up. So thank you very much. It's an incredibly generous donation. But, right, so Hassan Piker, as you can see, is China-maxing. He's in China at the moment on a, I don't know who's paying for the expenses, but on a trip that's being curated by the CCP. Because Hassan Piker has just become a pro-China propagandist all of a sudden. And it's really kind of strange because you've got an American Turk who's arrived in China. He's like, you know what? I love everything about China. There's nothing about China I don't love. It's like...
amazing.
Do you know what he really has in common is their attitude towards dogs.
Well, I was going to make that joke.
Sorry. I thought I've got to get it in first.
You
it's
did.
Like comedian's fade. I was like, let's get it in quick.
I assume he's over there because they like to abuse dogs too.
Yeah. But I said to you before the stream, who's more of a slave, Hassan or the dog? Because he's enslaved to streaming 10 hours a day now and he can't stop.
It's a prison. And the thing is, you know that he hates his own audience and he hates his life. But the thing is, like, you know, he's like, I love everything about China. Doesn't mention any genocides China's currently involved.
Yeah, I was going to say,
against Turkic Muslims.
Oh, yeah, it's the Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah, what's his uncle's name? Cheng Uyghur.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot his name.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I thought he loved all the Muslims.
I actually have his uncle is a Uyghur Turk.
Amazing.
It's just like, yeah, I'm going to go to China and I don't care. So it's really, really remarkable how, like, Hassan, he exists in this kind of weirdly sociopathic space, right? Mm. Where, like, nothing outside of his bubble really exists. Mm. And so, like, yeah, okay, China might be literally exterminating his ancestors and his family. But China is also basically a fascist state. And if there's one thing he's deeply impressed with, it's China's basic fascism. It's communism.
You know who I feel bad for? this is going to surprise you, like the genuine lefties, because I've realized, like, I was watching something about how people like Hassan, they ruined it. Destiny and Hassan, yeah. All these people. Yeah. And I feel bad. There's genuinely like thoughtful lefties out there who've done like the reading, and they're not just like glib idiots inciting stuff all the time. They're actually, and they're going, who's this idiot?
Let this be a lesson for who you make famous, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, Hassan gets to be the representative. Anyway, so he sat down with an independent journalist in China. But he explains to us why he went to China.
I also wanted to show my audience the Western world in general that there are a lot of rumors
He's dressed
about
like young
China.
Stalin.
There's a lot of misunderstandings and also
sort of
just outright lies, and that it's just another normal country just like every other country is.
This is Hassan Piker, an American online streamer, influencer, and a political commentator who wields significant influence over the young demographic in the U.S. He's known for his daily streams featuring political commentary and media analysis.
So, anyway,
I'm carrying myself because I'm so excited. It's been a remarkable experience thus far.
Yeah, but she keeps going, what do you love about China? He's like, oh, the following things. What else? And it's just a total snow job, glib sort of propaganda, basically.
I want to see all the big tier one cities, but most importantly, I'm super stoked that I'm going to get on a high-speed train tomorrow to go to Shanghai, because I also want high-speed rail in America.
Right. Like little circles. I'm not seeing that
style. Visit China.
Well, part of it is because
so
I talk about China quite a bit.
Jack, I don't know whether you can hear this, Jack.
Lessons to learn and what America can adopt and emulate, and seeing it in real time, I think, is a lot different. I also wanted to show my audience,
the Western world in general,
that there are a lot of rumors about China. There's a lot of misunderstandings and also just outright lies.
Okay, that's good. But anyway, yeah, so he says that, look, China's just another normal country with a one-party dictatorship. Just a normal country.
What a weird thing to do, to go, you're an American citizen, presumably, is he? Over and just propagandize for another country. That is ostensibly America's enemy as well. If they're serious, they have to deport him. Yeah. I've got nothing against China, but if you're America, you're like, hang on, these are our enemy. You know, you listen to people like Steve Bannon, they have to deport Hassan. This plus the dog thing.
You would think. I mean, if the dog thing isn't enough.
Imagine it was a Cold War and he was doing this. He'd be deported instantly.
I'm just going to go there and fluff the Chinese Communist Party for a while.
Ridiculous. He's got
it. I know. But that's the thing. I love the
Stephen attempt Miller, what are you doing?
The attempt to normalize China is a really interesting thing. Because, there are many reasons that we should be slightly concerned about Chinese. I mean, you would think like all the spies stealing stuff from America would be something of concern.
It's not even up for debate either, is it? Like,
no, not really.
This is a well-known, documented phenomenon. So, like,
I mean, there are loads of people who've been convicted for it.
Yeah, it's not. How much did they pay you, Hassan? Yeah. Like, how much?
So he went to Tiananmen Square, and then there's this clip. Again, we can't hear it, Jay. Are the TVs in here turned down or something? Can we try that? Okay.
I don't have any sort of patriotism in my heart for any. Yeah, for America, but just in general. I'm not like a very, you know, I care about people.
Deport them.
I don't believe that either. He cares about people or animals.
He certainly doesn't care about dogs, does he? But that's a remarkable thing. Just you know, hello, I'm an American. I've come over here and I don't have any patriotism for America. I love China, actually. I think China's my best friend now.
Stephen Miller, open the file. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right? It's so weird. So anyway, yeah, he went to this Tiananmen Square flag raising and they were like, oh, a white person, which they're not correct on, he's Turkish. But then what they did is they stopped his stream, grabbed his phone, because apparently there was a Chairman Mao meme on his phone. And so the police it's literally like British levels of policing. They immediately pulled his entire crew aside and forced them to go through their phones. You can hear Hassan's friend translate, they won't see your phones. And so Hassan is totally fine with this, apparently. Totally fine. They did this explicitly, and like people watching were like, I just watched Hassan get his stream shut down in China. Then he then explains how they did it because he was white, and that's actually a good thing. So he got racially profiled incorrectly.
And he loves China. It. For China, based.
That's okay.
If that that's happened in America.
Yeah.
I love the way, by the way, that you're, when China now does something authoritarian, like, who are you, Britain?
Well, they were offended by a meme on his phone, so yes, that's literally what we do here. But this is what obviously a load of his other like fellow streamers were like, well, hang on a second. If you were in America and they racially profiled you, the police stopped you and then went through your phone because you had a meme on it, you'd be freaking out. You'd be throwing a fit, and it's like, and rightly so, don't get me wrong. But no, not if it's in China. And apparently, Lauren was like, hang on a second. This is a fancy jacket that was limited edition made for Chinese New Year. How did he get one of these? Like, well, he's a multimillionaire and you're not, Lauren. That's how he bloody well got it. But yeah, then you get just so many other great things. Like, he's just constantly under surveillance in China. And so he's just constantly being checked on by the government, monitored by the government.
Pre-clearing all his footage with them as well.
Yes. Yeah. And Hassan is completely okay with all of this. And I wonder, honestly, if this is just him being a moron.
I need to understand something, okay? China is very big, and so is its government, okay? And from what I understand, and I'm not entirely certain of this, but like a lot of the stuff that we're doing, we're getting checks. Like we're not, like we're getting pre-clearance. We're not just fucking rolling up, chatters, okay? Like we're not just going, what's up, everybody? Like the thing that we did in Tiananmen Square, that is actually, at least like being able to live stream that was a very unique experience. Okay, checks they're paying you. No, dumbass, checks as in like pre-clearance. We're checking everything and getting assurances beforehand.
Why are you, what?
Okay, we have.
Why are you proud of saying that? What?
Yeah. There's constant surveillance.
Press me harder, China. It, oh, yes, please.
That is literally it. The communist dictatorship of China. Watching everything I do. They're going through my phone and I have to apply to them for approval to go and do anything that I want. This is a brilliant country.
What comes across to me as well, I suppose at his level, he barely even knows. He says, I think my team's getting like checks. So he's now just the front guy that shows up and says the dumb thing like, hey, you know.
It's just the talent, isn't it?
Yeah, he's just the talent. It's kind of like embarrassing. It kind of happens if you get big enough, I suppose, but it's like to not really know. Yeah, I think like the Chinese government's checking everything we do, but I don't really know. The team's dealing with it. That's a bit weird.
And what I love about this as well is he knows nothing about China.
Yeah.
Like, he clearly doesn't know anything about
China. Big place and it's a big government. He knows that.
He went to Tiananmen Square. Is there anything about Tiananmen Square that, as a Westerner who's in favor of, I don't know, liberty, civil rights, but political freedom? I mean, is there anything, as a Westerner, Hassan, is there anything about Tiananmen Square that speaks out to you?
Is he Westerner? Is he a Westerner?
Oh, that's the thing. He's not, is he?
It's all a big laugh, isn't it? You can tell by that, the coat he wore with that woman. It's all like, you're like, what are the clothes I should wear? Mm. What's the cool thing to say to my dumb audience?
Yeah. But it's just so remarkable how he lives in this bizarre, like, bimbo dream world that he's just shepherded through. What's happening? Well, the Chinese Communist Party is just telling us we can go here. They're just checking your phone. Don't worry about it. It's like, yeah, okay, this is totally normal, Hassan. This is how your life is in America, isn't it? This has happened to you over and over and over in America, hasn't it, Hassan?
And yet he would scream from the rooftops.
It would be
if Trump was doing anything remotely close to this. What a mad psycho he is.
It's just mental, isn't it? How you can be so like two-faced, like hypocritical.
But the thing is, right, it's long been observed that Hassan is not the brightest tool in the sharpest tool in the box. And the way he comes across in these streams, he just doesn't really, he sounds kind of stupid. And he sounds kind of out to lunch. He just sounds like he doesn't really know what's happening around him, right? Mm. And so, like, on the stream, one of these streams, he was like, China is everything I love. It's like, what?
Communist authoritarianism. My mind, I love that.
In my conscience, I have already become Chinese. Okay? We were already white Chinese in this chat. I've already become full Chinese. Okay? Let me just start by saying that.
Why is there
a dog in the fucking sick. Okay? Like,
he doesn't sound convinced, does he?
You have abundant style consumption paired up with centrally controlled economy and economic system that has yielded tremendous development. You have 1950s Soviet era building blocks next to the Gucci store. If there was more, if there was ever a country that represented the synthesis, the
things that I enjoy so much personally. If ever such a country existed, I do not know.
That's actually honest, though. If ever there was a sort of country that represented my glib aesthetic more, you know, Gucci mixed with pretending to like the Soviet Union or something.
But what's he describing there? He's describing a tyrannical country that has massive wealth inequality. Like he is.
What he loves.
Yeah, I want a bunch of peasants slaving away like bug men in the CCP.
He's mental, isn't he?
He looks like, I told you, he looks like young Stalin. That's who he wants. Stalin's the dream for him.
I just want every peasant living in a tenement block next to the Gucci store that I like to go to. Because I like abundant style consumption. I just want everyone else to be tyrannized. I just want these two things married together. And it's like, yeah, Hassan, what you're describing is what you would otherwise call state capitalism, which could be described as just fascism. That's what fascism is. Jeez. Like, China is basically developed from communism into fascism and is the sole surviving fascist regime at this point. And Hassan's like, yeah, I love everything about this. Which is just, like, capitalism with dictatorial characteristics. I don't want to go to a Gucci store or a poor neighborhood if there isn't a Chinese dictator in charge.
I wonder if when he comes back to America, he will stand by these statements. Because, you know, I want...
At the airport, when questioned.
By the 9/11, America deserved 9/11.
True. I just mean, like, it'd be interesting to see how much he's saying because he's directly there right now versus what he actually, you know, thinks. But, I mean, yeah, you're quite right. He probably will stand by.
What a mental freak of a man.
I know. And I love that this is the left's primary representative at this point.
Yeah.
Like, this is what other people...
All the magazines have propped him up. Like, this is your Joe Rogan. It's like, really?
Yeah, that's the left's Joe Rogan.
Inebriated fool.
Yes.
Brilliant.
It's incredible. Great. It's incredible. It's like, champagne socialist doesn't go far enough to describe Hassan Piker. He wants his Gucci stores and his Soviet tenement blocks. And when they're married together, my God, that's amazing. But the thing is, right, China is, it's been a long period of development of China. And they're basically not terribly different to the United States.
Mm.
They're on the trajectory. So as you can see, like, it used state-owned versus privately-owned share of the wealth fell from about 70% state-owned to 30% state-owned. It's 0% in the US because of adjusted for debt. But the point being, it's on the same trajectory as the United States. They're becoming capitalist with a dictatorship. So it's like, yeah, they're basically a fascist nation. And of course, you've got the national income earned by the top 10% has increased from 27% to 41%, nearing the US's 45%. So it's really not terribly shy of that, is it? I mean, it's more wealth inequality than France. So does that matter, Hassan? Does any of this matter to you as a socialist, as a communist? Like, what are you doing? And so it's... I mean, I guess, oh, they're bringing people out of poverty. Yeah, I guess. Only 17% of the population now are living on $6.85 or less a day.
Well, yeah, but that means he can wear the Adidas stuff.
Well, someone's got to live in the tenements, don't they?
Well, someone's got to make the crap that he buys.
Someone's got to be in the sweatshops.
He's kind of saying that out loud what the neoliberals want to say, which is probably what he is ultimately. You remember when Justin Trudeau said he admired China's basic dictatorship?
I do.
And this is how they all feel, really. Yeah. They can't quite say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Blair would love it if we were China. Starmer would love China, don't you think?
Oh yeah, Starmer would absolutely love China. Like, Starmer wishes dream, he was Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think he's just voicing what all the neolibs want to say.
But the point being, like, he complains about poverty in America, but the poverty in China is, of course, way worse. And he complains about wealth inequality in America, but it's almost the same in China. So it's just like... You just have this weird cuckold fetish. Yeah, I want Gucci stores, and I want wealth inequality. I just need a dictator at the top of it. I want a centrally planned economy, which China isn't, by the way. It's as you can see, about 70% capitalist. But yeah, anyway, so...
Just a case of the left always just... It's just trendy to hate your own country. Like, Corbyn just likes all our enemies.
I think that's it.
It's the sort of noble, savage type fetish that they have, basically. Yeah.
I think that's exactly
fetishize it.
When he's like, yeah, it's sick. I mean, I'm not really persuaded that he genuinely thinks it's as sick as, like, he's trying to make out.
It's a sort of pathetic rebellion against your own country.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I mean, you know, you could make the case. I mean, people like Callum go to different countries. They make an objective case, pros and cons. You can make the case for China. I'm sure lots of people like it.
Yeah.
But it's just like this sort of, oh, yeah, I like China. What are you going to do about it? You
know? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, whatever. You're just a weirdo.
What was interesting is that China didn't really like him. So nobody really knew who Hassan was. There were loads of comments on the videos being like, go back to wherever you came from.
Brilliant.
But also he got mogged by Asmongold, even in China. What's this clip?
Love it.
Yeah. Yep. Like, they know fucking Asmongold and shit. That's so strange.
Yeah,
no one from China should know who Asmongold is.
Do you remember me? Last time I said hi to you, like, you were with Bookman.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Were you guys together at the time?
But that's just funny. Asmongold just looming large over Hassan Piker's career.
He's like, you shouldn't know that.
Even in China, they're just, oh, do you know Asmongold? So I'm Hassan Piker. Never heard of you. So funny. But anyway, like, getting to the things that like China's actually doing wrong beyond the sort of normal Western complaints about civil liberties. Like, this, you would think, would matter to Hassan because he has brought this up before. And it wasn't even very long ago.
China doesn't do external genocide. They do cultural genocide internally. That's it. And we know a lot about that. Personally.
Somehow America bad?
Like, if you ask the fucking Uyghurs living in the region that are being oppressed and their culture being fucking removed... then, yeah, those guys are not super fond of China, obviously.
Your uncle's surname is Uyghur. It's reasonable for us to conclude that you are in some part a Uyghur Muslim, Hassan. You go to China that you know is currently in the middle of a genocide of the Uyghur Muslims, and you're like, this is sick, bro, because it's not America. You are mental, Hassan.
Why is the Chinese didn't bring up these old clips, get him in a little room and say, explain this? Then he disappears for 6 months.
I mean, he's still there, so it's not over yet.
Yeah, people disappear. That's another thing.
Send
people disappear.
To the Chinese
like, you're
government.
A tennis player that says the wrong thing. Goodbye, you know. Yeah. You're Jack Ma. Oh, where have you gone for a bit? He's not bothered by that. Like,
send this stream to the Chinese embassy.
Happy to help.
Yeah. But seriously, it's like, this has been going on for over a decade. This is not in any way a secret. Hassan Piker knows all about it. And it obviously is somehow connected to his own family. And yet he's just like, yeah, no, China base, bro. China great, because they've got slaves and tenements while I can buy my Gucci. And the government checks on everything that I do and goes through my phone.
That is a truly morally bankrupt person, isn't it? Like, he has absolutely no convictions at all. He just sort of floats around in this sort of nebulous realm of, I hate America, yeah, but I'm going to latch onto random bits and pieces here and there as it ebbs and flows with time and...
His one.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there is.
I hate America.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. That's his entire being is based around hatred of America. But everything else is just, well, I can latch onto that at this point. That at this point, cool, brilliant.
He's literally like a scene kid.
Yeah,
he's just a scene kid. He's got no understanding of these things, and doesn't seem to have any morality. And I think, Nick, you were exactly right. It's just the I hate America club that he's leading in on the American left, and it's like,
brilliant.
I mean, good for you, Hassan. But anyway, I don't know how much longer he's out there, but I'm sure more will come out, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Let's go through some. Luke says, G'day, sorry for being off topic. I just want to say thank you to Carl Notch on Stamford Bridge this morning. Check out the video I asked. I was a bit worried that you would react when he talked about Andrew Tate. Why? Hassan is just a baizu to the CCP. Yeah, so baizu is a Chinese word that means white leftist. Hassan obviously isn't white, but like, he is a leftist, and I imagine that from the position of the Chinese, they can't tell the difference. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the funny thing is, I bet they're just like, right, okay, why would the Chinese entertain this Turk coming around and being like, China's brilliant, bro? Why would they entertain that? Well, because it hurts America.
Yeah, they can just feed their propaganda shit to America.
The woman,
that's all it is.
In the clip at the beginning, he has significant influence over the youth of America, and so we're going to bring him over. Let him say that China's amazing and let him say that America sucks.
Yeah.
Just as a part of a long-term psyop against the United States. And Hassan Piker, again, himself not an American, a Turk, is completely in favor of this and is just happy to go along with it because he just feels no patriotism for America. Stephen Miller, why is he still in your country? Denaturalize, deport. Deport him to China, I'm sure. If he wants to live in China so much, let him go live in China.
No patriotism in his heart at all, remember?
Yeah.
So he's almost denounced Well, he has denounced America. Just get rid of him.
You can use his own words against him. So you've got no patriotism in America, for America. 9/11 was something America deserved. And China is way better than America. And that's the end of it. Right, okay. He doesn't need to be in your country. Anyway, Wild Speaker says, Eastern dog abuser enjoys Eastern dog abuser country. What a shock. Wow, yeah. Also, Hassan's dog is called Kea. Do you know who else had a dog called Kea? Netanyahu. It's a weird coincidence, but a coincidence I'm sure that it is. And Iron Bean says, sorry for being a topic. What do you guys think of Jonathan Bowden? That's just too off topic. And I've never read anything by him. I've never listened to any of his speeches.
Can I humbly recommend my podcast with Ed Dutton, where we talk about the book he wrote about Bowden? So check that out.
Right, okay.
And we responded to one of his speeches as well, so go and check those out.
What's funny about people from Turkey, they've been doing ancestry tests and finding out, well, aren't they banned in Turkey, ancestry tests? Because it turns out they're all Eastern European and Greek.
Amazing. I did not know they were banned.
I'm pretty sure they're banned. Anyway, we'll carry on.
Oh, I've got a little mouse here.
Oh, right, okay.
Although I can't find the mouse. Where is the mouse? Oh, there we go. Now I've got it.
See, I always get mopped for this, but it's harder than it looks.
It is harder than it looks.
Honestly. Just wait. Just wait. We're going to laugh it up when you can't do it. So where's the money? Where's the money? We've sent a lot of money to Ukraine.
Really? I can't believe we can't track it.
I know. A lot of cash. And there's been a long-standing corruption problem. In Ukraine, a long-standing corruption problem,
Wasn't it the most corrupt country in Europe?
We're one of, if not the most. We'll have a look at the one of the latest corruption indices of Ukraine in a minute as well. But basically, they have a corruption problem. It's long-standing, and we've got a brand new corruption scandal, which is not. It's not your average corruption scandal. This is a pretty big one.
Another day ending in Y in Ukraine, right?
But this one's a pretty big one because these are linked directly to Zelensky.
Oh.
So it's quite a big deal. So basically, I've got some bullet points here that I'm just going to read off. But this is obviously just the BBC article. So Ukraine's energy minister, and I'm going to butcher all of this because their names are just a bit absurd, basically. Svitlana Grinchuk. And Justice Minister Herman Halushenko, they've resigned following a major investigation of corruption in the energy sector.
Really?
So President Zelensky called for their removal on Wednesday. Halushenko stated he would defend himself against the accusations. Grinchuk said on social media, within the scope of my professional activities, there were no violations of the law. Yeah, sure, mate.
That's an interesting way of...
Sure.
Carving out within the scope of my professional activities. Yeah. Wrong.
Yeah, I'm all fine. So the embezzlement, what happened? So anti-corruption bodies accused several people of orchestrating an embezzlement scheme in the energy sector worth about $100 million. Just a breezy, cool $100 million. You know, why not? Including at the national nuclear operator, Ener Houghton. Interesting. So the scheme involved Justice Minister Herman and other key ministers and officials receiving payments from contractors building fortifications against Russian attacks on energy infrastructure. So it's kind of all interlinked. There's a whole sort of big pile here. Not only that, so involved individuals include former Deputy Prime Minister Oleksiy Chermyshov and Timur Mindik. Businessman.
I assume you're pronouncing these correctly.
Yeah, whatever. At me, I guess. But this one's interesting because that is a businessman and co-owner of Zelensky's former TV studio.
Ah.
And he's fled the country. Because he's innocent.
Yeah, that's how I know he's innocent.
Fled the country because he's innocent.
Fled to Qatar or something.
Yeah. So this is interesting, right? Like, it's not just. Oh, it's another corruption scandal. No, these people are like in bed with Zelensky.
Yeah.
Absolutely, unequivocally in bed with Zelensky. That's a major deal. Literally the co-owner of Zelensky's former TV. Like, that's huge.
And what was the guy? I can't remember the name of the billionaire who financed the show that made Zelensky, portrayed him as the president, kind of see the idea. And then he runs and then he wins. And so it's like, it seems like this is a long game that's been played in order to extort loads of money.
Well, I mean, if so, which who knows, maybe I mean, they're winning, aren't they? Really? They've got what they wanted. So the investigation lasted 15 months, involved 1,000 hours of audio recordings, uncovered participation by several members of the Ukrainian government. So brilliant.
They're fighting for democracy. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, they're fighting for European values.
Definitely.
They're just far right. Russia.
Slap my wrist. So those implicated systematically collected kickbacks from Enna Houghton, which this is the energy thing, contractors worth between 10 to 15% of contract values. So they're just like under there. Funds were laundered with huge sums transferred outside Ukraine, including to Russia. I mean, who'd have thought? You know, oligarchs are oligarchs, yeah. No matter where they are. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's 100%.
Madness. Photographs and of bags full of cash were published by the anti-corruption bodies. And proceeds were allegedly laundered through an office in Kyiv linked to the family of former Ukrainian lawmaker and current Russian senator Andrei Derkach.
It's kind of comical. Like, photos of bags stuffed with cash.
It's like Scrooge McDuck almost, isn't it?
No, it's
diving into his money.
If you were going to create a parody of an Eastern European country that was essentially, you know, to showcase the kind of corruption, you'd have these sort of like dodgy looking chances with bags of money. It's like, no, I have to flee the country now, comrade, or whatever. You know, like it would be this sort of thing, and yet this is what they're doing.
Yeah, it's insane. It is insane, and we're left to think there's definitely no issue with everything we send them. 100%.
I'm going to check.
I've got that. I've got that. Oh, okay. I've got that coming up.
We need Leo here to have some sort of pro-Ukraine representative and explain why this is all awesome. I don't really know.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. I like Leo a lot, but his takes on Ukraine were bad.
Yeah. Nah. Ukraine, no. Not great. Not great. So the National Anti-Corruption Bureau of Ukraine and Specialized Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office have been releasing new snippets of the investigation on wiretaps daily, with more promise on Tuesday. I don't think that's materialized as far as I could tell. So it's a huge thing. Like, it's a huge thing, right? So the scandal involves...
It's a huge amount of money.
It's a huge amount of money. It's direct involvement of Zelensky's best buddies, work associates, business friends. It's a pretty big deal, basically. It's not a small thing.
This is like the biggest heist that's ever existed.
Well, you mean the broader context?
Yeah, the whole thing that they're doing. If you look at it as this grand plan that they're obviously executing.
Yeah.
This is a massive heist.
Yeah, there was also reports, I think it was coming out like a year or two ago, of all these Ukrainian former ministers just chilling out in Monaco with G-Wagons and stuff. Like, where'd you get a G-Wagon from, mate? How are you getting a G-Wagon? You know.
Apparently Zelensky had $750,000 in an account offshore.
Well, he's got more than that now.
Oh, does he? Oh, yeah, well, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, he's incredibly rich now, his net worth.
I think that was before he became the president. So how does a Ukrainian comedian...
Yeah, I chose the wrong country to transition from comedian to politics.
He's just funnier than you. He's way funnier than you.
And he's got the right outfit. Yeah, I didn't think it through.
Yeah, this is it. So,
but how far do you blame Zelensky or just Ukraine? Because I have a guy in my football team now, and it's made me sort of quite sympathetic because he's from Ukraine, and he tells me about what's happening on the ground there. But he was, he sort of worked with Poroshenko. He's not a Zelensky guy. But are you blaming? Are you just saying it's always corrupt? Are you saying Zelensky's worse than the predecessors?
I would say he's worse. I mean,
I would say from the top down, there is an institutional corruption at play. And Zelensky is a cog in a very corrupt machine. So, you know, his run for sort of presidency, or is he president? Yeah, he's president, isn't he? Was, my belief, an effective orchestration to allow further embezzlement and just, yeah, like it's sort of top-down control, isn't it? Effectively. It's the appearance of a democracy, but it's effectively an autocracy.
Yeah, and not just that, it's a typical sort of Eastern European gangster state that just embezzles loads of money. And it was famous for that for years. I mean, The Guardian would report on this if you go back 5-6 years, well, probably 10 years now. The Guardian's got loads of reporting on this right up until the Russian invasion. And then suddenly, oh, well, Ukraine is one of our closest allies. You know, Keir Starmer's like sucking him off in front of Downing Street or whatever. It's just like... Like, I don't have any attachment to Ukraine, and I'm sympathetic to the Ukrainian people who have to put up with this, but, like, that's not my business, is it? You know, like,
yeah, I mean, hey, look, you know, we got enough things to worry about.
Yeah,
here,
I'm sympathetic to the Uyghur Muslims getting genocided by China, but it's not really my business.
Yeah,
now, the flag in bio Ukraine is amazing. Yeah, it was creepy given all the history of it.
We need to save democracy in Ukraine. It's like, are you serious?
Hmm.
But anyway,
I mean, there's so
it was a coup in 2014.
Wrong with, yeah,
like, you weren't like, we need to save democracy in Ukraine then,
no. No. Sorry, no. It's all fair, right? Like, it's there's so many layers to Ukraine, so many layers. But this isn't new. Their sort of corruption thing isn't new. I mean, so this is the transparency.org, which is basically like it's a corruption index.
Yeah,
effectively, it's quite fun to take a look at. Obviously, this is just one marker, and you know, you can kind of take a look at it, and you can see that it's corrupt just generally through all the wealth of scandals that they have. So we don't need this to take a look at, but it's just a marker to say this is well known and has been well known for over a decade how corrupt they are. I mean, as back in 2012, so basically it's a score out of 180 countries around the world, the Corruption Perceptions Index. Ukraine has a score of 35. This was in 2024. With a change of -1 since last year, meaning it ranks 105 out of 180 countries. So it's very corrupt. It's very corrupt. And what I like what I find interesting about this is that you can see the perception of corruption sort of goes away when the war starts to happen. They're like, oh, it's not actually that corrupt, guys. Don't worry about it. No, it's all right. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's pretty corrupt.
I mean, that's still not a great score, is it?
Oh, no, it's dreadful. Dreadful. But you can kind of see the media spin and all eyes put on Ukraine. Like, no, they're not corrupt, guys. Your money's definitely going to some good places. Don't you worry about it. Don't stress. But yeah, it's pretty bad. And the media seems to have noticed. So, like, that was the BBC chatting about this corruption scandal. But everyone else seems to have noticed as well. So, look, like, AP News here. Oh, yeah. Top Ukrainian ministers submit their resignation as the country is rocked by corruption. Is it really rocked? Is it? I mean, this is like another... it's just another day ending in Y for Ukraine.
Yeah.
Not really rocked, is it?
I mean, our rank is 20 out of 180. And we have a score of 71 out of 100, which is higher than I was expecting, actually. Lower than I was expecting, actually.
Yeah.
But still twice that of Ukraine.
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. So, and then we've also, I mean, there's, again, just a whole bunch of articles. Ukraine battered by bombing and scarred by corruption. It's like, yeah, this isn't news.
No.
Right? Like, you know, you've given them however much money for however long now, and none of this will sort of change the trajectory of the aid that you provide them. And it is mad.
Well, you've made some oligarchs insanely rich. I mean, they're probably having a very nice time in Monaco.
Well, yeah, there is that.
I looked up the amount that we have collectively given Ukraine in the last couple of years.
What's your figure then? Because I've got a figure here.
$360 billion. That's including the EU, Britain and America.
Oh, I've got a higher
figure than that. Go on.
21.8 billion. So the UK has committed a total...
That's us personally, isn't it?
Yeah, UK has committed £21.8 billion in support to Ukraine, with £13 billion designated for military assistance and the remainder for non-military support. Military aid includes gifted equipment, £2.26 billion loan, for which repayment will come from frozen Russian assets, doubt it, and a commitment to spend £4.5 billion on military support in 2025 alone. I mean, that's again just mental.
Yeah, but that's just from us. In total, from America, the EU, and us, $360 billion.
That's insane.
I mean, that is an incredible amount of money. And there was a report a while ago about how basically it can't be tracked. let me look it up quickly. But there was
there is no tracking on where
there's no
money's
paper
gone.
Trail for any of it.
Yeah, there is none at all.
Yeah, the Center for Strategic International Studies says there's $100 billion missing in aid from Ukraine, as in the America sent it.
And it's gone. Yeah, because Ukraine also argued back to Donald Trump saying, well, we haven't got half of it.
Yeah, so where has it gone?
Well, we gave it to you.
Yeah.
So what have you done with it?
just ignore these bags stuffed with cash as I get out the door.
It's like, mental. What are we talking about? It's actually mental. And again, I mean, this is just another day ending in Y for Ukraine. It's stupid of us to presume that they wouldn't be corrupt. Yes. Right? Like, that's the thing. You know, their corruption is an issue, but we're really, really dumb for giving them as much money as we have done. And with no guarantees of where it's going to go, no paper trail. So we're almost, we are effectively complicit in this corruption, which is incredibly irritating. And actually, the amount that we've given them dwarfs what we ourselves spent on active deployment in Iraq, even adjusted for inflation. So I've got the numbers. So roughly £8 to £10 billion was spent on the active deployment in Iraq.
Eight to ten.
It's dependent, really. There's some adjustments here and there, which is about $14 billion in today's money. $14 billion on active deployment. Now, I know.
I mean, that's a horrific commentary on inflation as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
So it was only 20 years ago. Jesus Christ.
I know, it's mad.
It's not like it was in the 1950s or something. Okay, yeah, God. All right.
So basically, the question is, where's the money? Where's it gone?
It's gone into the. I mean, and the thing is, it's not just one set of people, right? What it will have been is it's got to go through a system, and at every point in that system, there's going to be whoever's handling it at that point is going to slice a percentage of it off for themselves.
Yeah.
And eventually it trickles down to, like, you know, a third of it gets to where it's supposed to go. Because half of it didn't even turn up for the military equipment or anything like that. Where's it all gone? It's like, yeah, great question.
Yeah, because there was a whole a host of military corruption going on, selling off of a whole bunch of the weapons as well, just taking them, selling them off elsewhere. It's like, this is a clown show. It's a clown show masquerading as a war. Our money's gone.
AP, US failed to track more than $1 billion in military gear given to Ukraine, Pentagon watchdog says. It's like, what were you doing? We'll just stamp it. Just stamp it, get it through the House, get it through the Senate, get it out. Gone, and it's gone forever, and there's black holes.
It's the meme of South Park, and it's gone.
Yeah, it literally is.
And it's gone. So that's where our money's gone, Ukraine.
$1 billion worth of weapons and equipment have just disappeared.
Mm.
Who's got those? The Taliban, maybe. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, well, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Who knows where it's gone? So the corruption in Ukraine is obviously pretty rife. We're the issue there. You know, we're complicit in that
this
by
is
providing.
The Pentagon's own watchdog pointing this out as well. But this was in 2024, where they were like, yeah, we gave them $1.7 billion in defense gear at one point, and 59% of that is gone.
And yet we're persistently giving them more and more, year on year. So, right, get your house in order.
It's absolutely
get some checks and balances on this. It's obviously just money laundering, like clearly, very, very clearly, just a money laundering scheme. And it's irritating because obviously that's our tax and we will now be indebted for God knows how long.
Remember, Keir Starmer was like, there's no amount too much that we'll pledge to save Ukraine.
It's one of his pet topics because it's one of the few areas, like international relations, where he's doing slightly better.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
When he can't do much worse than at home, where he's on the verge of getting ousted. But yes. Yeah.
No, but you're absolutely right. And like his little hugs with Zelensky, it's like, there's no limit to the amount of money we'll pledge to Ukraine's oligarchs. It's like, oh, right, good.
Well, because he's getting those rent boys, so I guess, you know.
Well, that's another...
Allegedly.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm glad you got that in. I'm worried about Carl as a...
I mean, allegedly.
I mean, if Keir Starmer wants to sue me over the rent boys, I'm happy to pay him up. Like, let's go through the courts and see what's the deal with
them. I think you'll find they weren't rent boys.
They were models.
The media has just got no curiosity about that either. Like, Ukraine promises unlimited money to Ukraine. Starmer promises unlimited money to Ukraine. Mm. And then he gets personally terrorized by Ukrainian rent boys.
It's a bit odd.
Everyone's like, well, that's just...
A trio of them as well. Normal.
No, four.
Was it four?
There were four. There was a fourth.
What?
And it's like, this is weird. This is just...
You're saying no smoke without rent boys.
I'm
classic phrase.
I'm suggesting that if I was in Westminster media, I would be more curious about this. Mm.
Yeah. I feel like they've probably got lots of stuff they can deploy should they ever want to. You know what I mean? It's
just, I imagine so, yeah.
Let's see if it comes out. Mm. Peter Mandelson has most of it in a massive file.
He was caught pissing up against, like, George Osborne's fence the other day.
Mandelson.
Yeah, there's a picture of him pissing up against him. Yeah, literally. It's like, what are you doing? What? Can I have that match, please? I know. It was like, what is going on here?
Mad.
Anyway. Is sovereignty worth the result that we're seeing? Well, I mean, I don't know. Chris says, I worked in Kazakhstan in the early 2000s and spent time in Russia as well. The corruption in that part of the world is endemic. If anyone gets the tiniest bit of power, corruption follows. Yeah, I know. This is a mad thing where basically the idea you pay off every civil servant or police officer you see to get things done. And it's like, I just can't imagine living like that.
Yeah,
like the idea of trying to bribe a British cop, an actually British cop.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You would. It would be an unthinkable act.
Yeah, you would.
This is the thing, isn't it?
It's literally like, unthinkable.
You just don't understand them. You don't. Other cultures are alien cultures. You don't understand them. You don't understand what you've got here in the West, the high trust society that's been completely eroded and destroyed, and we. That's why I say we're complicit in the corruption of Ukraine. Like, we're facilitating their corruption by just pouring cash into their country.
They can't believe their bloody luck.
Yeah, no, they're like, oh, wow, yeah, brilliant, thanks, excellent. Yeah.
Stupid Americans. 100
million, brilliant, yeah. It's mad. It's absolutely mad.
Yeah, and the high-flying rhetoric, oh, we're saving Ukrainian democracy and it's Russian tyranny. It's like, look, man, that is just a shield that they hide behind, that these oligarchs are hiding behind in order to loot their own country and loot us in the same time. I mean, they can't believe their luck. Anyway, EZ says, I've worked in China. The prosperous aesthetic he's talking about is in super wealthy areas. The average Chinese worker lives in a dorm owned by the factory because they can't afford rent. Yeah. And Hassan would not be wealthy enough to live in those areas in which the CCP allows to be shown abroad as pro-China propaganda. Yeah, he's in the Chinese version of Mayfair, you know, where like every property is like $10 million or whatever, you know. It's like, I'm not even exasperated. It's just like, yeah, all of this is just exactly what you should expect.
Mm.
Like, you've got to be a lot more cynical about these things, I'm afraid. Like, people in the West are very idealistic, but outside of that, it just none of our sort of magical words and phrases hold up outside of the West. Other peoples don't believe in them like we do. Anyway, let's carry on.
All right, well, let's do my little bit. So this touches on three themes, really. It's mainly about the death penalty debate, but it also touches on this recent theme of BBC bias and the immigration debate, and you'll see why. So Rupert Lowe, MP, independent now, of course, stepped up and made the case for the death penalty in the House of Commons, and let's see how it went down.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Every week we hear of a brutal murder, rape or stabbing. Far too often perpetrated by someone who should not be in our country to begin with. Does the Prime Minister agree that for cases where the guilt is so undeniable, the crime so monstrous, the evil so irredeemable, the reintroduction of the death penalty for both foreign and domestic criminals should be put to the British people in a legally binding referendum?
Can I first say that any attack is to be condemned, and it is absolutely right, and we're determined that there is a criminal justice response in relation to attack, however it's carried out and whoever it's carried out by. But reintroducing the death penalty is not the answer to this. It didn't work when it was in place. It led to the death of those that in fact turned out were innocent. But what we must do is improve, as we are, the criminal justice response in this country.
Okay, but that entire statement is predicated on the fact that forensics hasn't improved any way to prove people's guilt, actually, is what you're saying.
It's not just that. The way he's saying it is only innocent people were executed.
Yeah, it's just nonsense.
That's not true.
Nonsense. Yeah. And here are the jeers of the MPs, and they are jeering at the British people who actually, as we'll find, do believe on the whole in the death penalty. And you see Lisa and Andy just chatting about something else. They're all very glib. One of the great tricks of the sort of Blairite revolution is to pretend that everything's just settled. Yeah. It's absurd. The death penalty, who is this relic you've allowed in? But that's not how the British people think.
Well, just a quick thing on Keir Starmer. I mean, he campaigned for free in Jamaica to abolish the death penalty.
You mean this?
Yes.
Brilliant.
I do mean this. You've got me.
Saved by Starmer. So Keir worked for free as lawyer to save baby killers and axe murderers. I've shared this before.
Evil man.
On Lotus Eaters. It's quite grim. I don't even know what we can say on YouTube because the details are so grim. But he basically helped brutal child killers who did things like bury children alive and things like this. I mean, it's unbelievably sick.
Keir Starmer goes over to the prisons and is like, these poor men can't be murdered, executed for their crimes.
Yeah. So actually, in the House, he was relatively moderate, given actually, in reality, because what he's hiding is he's passionately campaigned against the death penalty, even in the most horrific cases. Yes, because he just believes in it. He's a Mr. Human Rights.
Campaigned as a founding member at the Death Penalty Project, which is obviously a project to abolish the death penalty.
Also, like, his response is, no, we must just pay for them for eternity.
Also, no, it doesn't work. It does work.
Because they're dead.
Yeah, exactly. Zero recidivism.
That's brilliant. They're gone. Awesome.
And as I pointed out another time, he believes in assisted dying. So he does believe in the deaths for the innocent, but not the guilty.
Well, they debated this in Parliament the other day, didn't they? It's like, yeah, we need to bring this in for the NHS. This is the progressive thing to do. It's like, right, so people who haven't broken the law should be killed by the state.
Yeah.
Murderers of children...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Innocent people and unborn babies. It's like that. It's like the meme. It's like the Drake meme. But then, like, actual brutal killers who bury children, you know, kill them. Sure. 9-year-old who stabbed 9-year-old. It's like 9-month-old baby. He killed his girlfriend and 9-month-old baby. And Sam was like, this guy deserves another chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
such
mad.
A warped morality.
It's exactly. Totally inverse.
Inverted morality. Yeah. And the story also highlights the issue with the BBC. So this is someone has saved it for posterity. So the BBC posted, independent MP Rupert Lowe asked if the PM will put the death penalty for overseas and foreign criminals to the public. Overseas and foreign. Not what he said at all.
But.
Hear me out.
Yeah, I mean, if the hat fits, I mean,
yeah, I'm prepared to make the case.
Based BBC there.
Yeah.
Just
well, the thing. The BBC's like, see, look what he said, and the public's like, really?
Yeah.
You hate foreigners.
Public's like, let's go to YouGov and poll that. Yeah, I mean, the problem here, BBC, they're in a scandal, of course, over Trump and over the footage. And what did they do? They're like, oh, we'll just smear someone again, getting it completely wrong.
Literally the next day.
The next day. And also, we'll do it about our favourite topic, which is immigration. Oh, Rupert Lowe just wants to kill immigrants. Of course, not what he said. He said...
Great campaign slogan.
You know what that is? That page doesn't exist. No, okay.
They've deleted it.
He said... He actually said... they've deleted it. Yeah, I thought that one had it anyway, but I don't know why not. Anyway, so I said more accurately... They said that it... Oh, they've deleted that as well. Okay, so they said that their tweet is one that more accurately reflects. I was like, more accurately? I was like, you changed foreign and domestic to overseas and foreign. That radically changes the meaning. One of them means foreigners. One of them means foreign and at home.
Any criminal.
Yes, I said how interesting. The mistake, once again, completely aligns with the BBC's obvious bias. Mistakes only happen...
They lie as easily as they breathe. It's just so congenital in the BBC.
What are you saying?
Yeah. It's literally just... Their first instinct is to lie. Right, Rupert Lowe said this. Right, we need to lie. It's like, yeah, but actually the lie might sound good to the British public, so you might be worried about that, actually.
How can we twist this to make him look base?
Even more base than he actually is?
Yeah, so you drew attention to it there, and Rupert Lowe, I don't know that. Okay, I don't know what that one is.
They deleted the post.
Yeah, he's saying I would encourage everyone to share the BBC's post.
They deleted the apology.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
So they
posted an apology and then they deleted the apology.
They posted the thing and said, because they deleted the original.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so that's why I've got a gap, because the BBC deleted the apology as well. Wow.
And they're ashamed that they apologised to
him. Yeah, because what happened is a day later, they finally managed to apologise, but they seem to have, that's gone as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But then, so Rupert Lowe responded to that, said with BBC's apology to me, impressively, that's now 3 apologies, corrections over the disgraceful coverage of me in just 4 months. And he points out
that's
what I
only
said.
Of him.
Exactly.
Just defunding.
He said, as I said, it's always the mistake, always in one direction. And then he wants Trump to destroy them. Basically, he says defund and all that. I mean, Politics Joe, even worse, Rupert Lowe calls for the death penalty of asylum seekers at PMQs. What? What?
Based politics.
Put it on a billboard.
Joe.
Put it on a billboard and see if he gets elected Prime Minister.
Jeez.
And they had to apologise. Earlier today, we published a clip of Rupert Lowe, at least retracted anyway, falsely claiming he called to introduce a death penalty for asylum seekers. We'd like to clarify, he was calling for a referendum on a death penalty in cases of heinous crimes committed by foreign and domestic criminals.
That's weird. There's just such a... Like, oh, yeah, sorry, our bad there. That was a slight mistake.
Yeah.
He never mentioned asylum seekers, so we completely fabricated an entirely new sentence.
Yeah. Foreign and domestic criminals. That just means everyone, as you say.
Yeah, it literally just means anyone who commits a crime. So,
We would like to clarify, he was calling for something we didn't say at all. Like,
yeah.
Either they're so stupid they can't hear, understand a simple sentence, or they're complete liars. Like, pick one.
They're so used to lying, and they're so used to not being caught out, because until literally Elon took over Twitter, how would you have forced them to do this?
Wasn't right. it the Guardian yeah. that was chased off Twitter because yes. yeah, you kept getting ratioed
and
community notes.
Like, this place has become a cesspit. We're leaving. Yeah. You wouldn't have been on there to correct it. Rupert Lowe would be banned, probably. Yeah. Trump would be banned. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So
that's the point. This is why Twitter and Elon buying it is such a powerful thing. They know that it's just habit to them, right? The BBC, okay, quick, we'll lie about Rupert Lowe. Politics, we'll lie about Rupert Lowe. And suddenly Trump can see it. Suddenly Elon can see it. Suddenly everyone can see it. It's like, oh, wait, well, yeah, no, sorry. We would like to clarify that we are a bunch of fucking liars and make him sound more base than he actually is.
Yeah, and one reason this is all so serious, especially the MPs jeering it, is because, as I said, the public actually believe in it. So here's a little one here. Should the death penalty be reintroduced for terrorist murder acts? And it has overwhelming support. You see here, this is the would support 57%, opposes 33%, don't know 10%.
And it changes depending on how you ask the question, of course.
Yeah.
So it's just, should the death penalty be reintroduced? And about 50% of people just say yes.
Yeah, and I've got that one. This one is an earlier one.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
This one is from 2022, when it's a misleading headline, Britons don't support the death penalty, until you name the worst crimes. Oh, so they do.
Yeah.
So
overwhelmingly.
This was the one where it showed that they actually, they did support it in cases of multiple murder here, terrorist murder acts, murder of a child, 55, 54, 52. So a majority in all cases.
Even then, a third of people are in any cases of murder, which is what it used to be for. If you murder someone, you get hanged.
Yeah.
Good.
I think rapists should be murdered, quite frankly. You've destroyed someone's life. I had this conversation with Beau. Like, no one that has potentially caused the irreparable damage of someone's life, you forfeited your life at that point.
See, this is why I'm for corporal punishment. I think that justice should be retributive. As in, if you take someone's life, then your life should be taken.
That's where rape gets tricky, because you can't punish someone with that, because then you're committing something immoral.
Right, all I'm saying is diversity is our strength, and what do they do in Pakistan?
I see.
No, I'm not saying that. but the point is, this is what floggings were for, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you get 100 lashes then.
Got some stuff on that. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I've thought of it all, but yeah, exactly. Retributive is a key thing. We'll get into that as well.
This is why Kirsten's like, it doesn't work. So no, it does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Just balance the cosmic scale. Yes.
Well, so, I was going to say later. The idea of retributive justice, so people pretend, you can't kill but because we're somehow becoming as bad as a murder. There's a case, something like kidnapping. They're taking away your freedom. You take away their freedom by putting them in prison. We do it all the time. Yeah. We match the punishment to the crime all the time. But it's only at this most heinous level that people suddenly abandon that. Oh, no, we can't do it for death. Why not? You've done it all the way along.
Yeah.
But with most libs, you sort of look and you think, actually, you probably don't believe in retributive justice at any level.
They want to abolish the police.
All rehabilitation is all you believe in.
But also, not all lives are equal, right? So, if someone's spent their life virtuous, morally, sort of searching for to benefit their society and their culture, their life is clearly worth more than a murderer's. And so, if you're looking to sort of cultivate a rich culture, a virtuous, moral culture, those that remove people's lives and do these heinous acts, their life is not of the same value of the persons that they would have taken from you.
Right. And it's
so they should be removed from society.
Yeah.
And civilization is for the civilized. If you can't act civilized, you are removed from civilization.
Yeah, that's another key part. Yeah, and it's the deterrent. Unless you want to say something, Carl, I was going to go to the next one, which is just more up to date. So in case you think, that was 3 years ago, November 7th last week, do Britain support the return of corporal and capital punishment? Well, we'll get on to the corporal.
Bring back stocks!
I know.
Yes.
I'm going to get on to it. It's a mere 21%, bizarrely. But in terms of capital punishment, 50%.
Well, it's about a third if you combine it together.
And oppose 45%.
Yeah, well, there we are. Democracy works.
That's why when the MPs jeer it, they are jeering the British people. There's just no other way to see it. Now, you can look at how it breaks down amongst
They're opposed to bring about the sort of weakness.
Yeah, I know.
Weakness.
So here you go. The death penalty here, strongly support, somewhat support, 25-25, so it becomes 50. And if you break it down more, 8 in 10 reform voters support bringing it back. Quite high for conservatives, 67% of conservative voters. pretty high. Yeah. 35% even among Labour voters, even 30% for the Lib Dems, base Lib Dems, Greens 26%. Who are these death penalty Greens?
Amazing. Amazing that the Greens are like, yeah, we want to kill people. That's
sorry, can we go back to the stocks thing? Because I'm
going to get onto it, though. Can I was literally going to get onto it. I was going to say that
bothers me.
People say long prison sentences are the most likely to be seen as tackling crime, 66%, but death penalty has 62% effectiveness as well.
No, I think it's 100% effectiveness.
Here you go. Yeah. Here. Then I was exactly going to get onto flogging, because only 21% support bringing it back.
It's not enough.
And that's stocks, and 17% flogging. And I was just going to also bring up someone who does say, Maurice Glassman from Blue Labour.
He
said, let's bring back stocks. He says, if you get your phone, he says, I'm quite in favour of public humiliation of these shoplifters, bringing back the stocks, pelting them with rotten fruit. The old ways are the good ways.
Oh God, he's so right.
He says, it's impossible to live in London without having your phone nicked. So his point is, and I saw his clip on this, if they humiliate you like that, and it is it's happened to me, it's horrible.
Absolutely.
You can pelt them and humiliate them.
I'm totally for the flogging, though. Totally. Yeah. For it. I think if you commit a crime, you need to feel pain. It has to be physical.
A good society will sort of self-regulate on many, many levels. Mm. Fat shaming, for instance. Fat shaming is one of those things that, you know, we've put to bed. But, you know, shame, cultural shame, enforces many, many things.
Shame works.
And when you... Yeah, it genuinely does. But when you've been told, no, you can't, like, there used to be society, you know, the old man on the street corner that'd be like, you know, see you do something. No, don't do that. Go do something. And because we've sort of depowered people from public shame, these sort of smaller acts grow. And
It suggests to the people committing crimes that actually we're not bothered about these things.
Yeah.
And actually there's a kind of permissiveness in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if we were to put them in the stocks, or if they did something worse, flog them publicly, they'd probably be only once they'd do that.
Well, there's many instances.
Oh, hang on a second. That was really unpleasant.
Yeah. And like you say, those percentages, considering how arcane those things are thought to be, those percentages are still quite high.
Yeah.
And yeah, it all at root, you'll know this, at root, of course, it's the personal freedom is their ultimate... That's the main thing in this liberal society, over responsibility, social responsibility, etc. So that's where it all comes from. Like you say, how dare you call someone's free to be fat? Someone's free to anything. You can't be told off by an old person about how to behave. It's all about freedom, no responsibility. And
but there's many instances, isn't there? There was that. It wasn't that long ago where there was that guy that just pulled his kecks down on a train in front of women and children, and the guys got involved, and they're the ones being sought by the police. It's like, right,
sort of Daniel Penny type.
But in a morally just society, those people would be rewarded and congratulated as individuals that stood up for a good culture.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. One which we want to have. You know, you want people to jump in when there's a certain situation that's happening. Not, you don't want to demoralize that. Mm. But obviously if you're part of the establishment, obviously you do.
Yeah.
But it's nonsense.
Yeah.
I just love this distinction as well. Like, oh, are you for the stocks? No, not really. Are you for flogging? No, not really. Are you for executing people? Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
Like, we're civilized.
Maybe it's because they don't think it'll work.
Well, I don't even know. I think it's the sort of brutality of it, frankly, that the people are put off by.
Yeah, the effectiveness. In terms of the effectiveness, well, 29% said the stocks would work, 31% flogging. So some think it'd work, but not as many. You're right.
Yeah.
Which was 62% definitely.
Well, what about tackling crime? I'm not talking about tackling crime.
Yeah, just the fun of it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, no, what do they deserve?
What do they deserve, yeah.
It's like you beat up this guy. It's like, okay, what do you deserve? You stabbed someone and they didn't die. Okay, what do you deserve? You deserve a bleeding back. You deserve to be sat there howling in pain because that's what you did to someone else. It's retributive. You deserve what you dished out illegitimately.
If you look at how people treat Rupert Lowe, now this was again deleted. This was a former Lib Dem councillor, Matthew Holbert.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take a pop at Rupert Lowe on Twitter. This
exactly. He said Rupert, and I rated him, everyone did. He said Rupert Lowe is arguably the most repugnant MP in the House of Commons and quite possibly ever. Vile. Hashtag PMQs. Still using hashtags, even though Elon deboosted him.
Brilliant.
Rupert Lowe, I reply, Rupert Lowe is arguably the only MP who speaks for the people, so naturally he's hated by regime types. And then so he deleted it.
It's not even arguable, right? So
I was matching his original sentence for effect.
But your point, but it's not even arguable because the public have been polled on the death penalty and the MPs have been polled on the death penalty. And even Conservative MPs are far to the left of the Labour voters on the subject of the death penalty.
That's mad.
Yeah.
And it's like yes. MPs, apart from Rupert Lowe, are in favour of the death penalty.
It's mad. Yeah, there's a clip I'm going to hopefully play if we have time with mad journalists, but there's another part I don't have where a former Tory MP said the typical wet thing, well, I'm against it. It's like, why are you all against it? 67% of Conservative voters are in favour of it. Yeah. Majority of your own voters.
Because they don't represent their own people.
There it is.
They don't represent the British public. They don't represent their own parties.
What's the rational justification for keeping Axel Rudi Cabana alive?
Yeah.
You know, we know he did it. Categorically, we know he did it.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's causing more issues. Kill him.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Well, that's the one.
Right? That's someone that's never going to atone for his sins. Get rid of him.
But also, what about the justice of it? Three girls are dead. Eight were stabbed, or 11 were stabbed in total. Three girls are dead, and he's now playing video games in a room that he just can't leave.
And free to perpetrate more evil acts on prisoners.
Yes.
On prison officers.
Later, I've got a clip about redemption, and there's rehabilitation, all this nonsense, but the guy allegedly, I think we still have to say, throws boiling water on a prison guard. It's like, this guy hasn't repented, this guy hasn't changed, he's incapable of it.
Yeah.
So, yes, and the idea, like, oh, what if we get the wrong person? In reality, very rare, and with technology, who thinks Axel Rudi Cabana didn't do that? No one.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, isn't it? It's like, oh, what if we get the wrong person? Okay, then we don't execute them. Like,
if
there's any doubt, and that's and genuinely in philosophy, there's two levels of certainty, right? You've got fallible certainty and infallible certainty, and infallible certainty is like 2 + 2 = 4, right? It's always this, so you can be infallibly certain that that's always going to be the case. And okay, if there's any kind of fallibility in how certain we are about it, one, why are you locking them up in the first place? If you're not sure that this is the guy that committed the crime, why are you locking them up?
Right. Yeah, you're happy to take away 20 years of his life.
Exactly.
You're not happy to kill him.
We still do that, and that goes wrong, and people are, it's the wrong person, but we still do that.
Exactly. Yeah. But two, there are cases, like with the Lee Rigby murderers. Like, there's just no doubt. Couldn't have been someone else, like with Axel Rudi Cabana, that it couldn't have been someone else.
And no one thinks that, so yeah.
Exactly, and no one's even alleging it might be someone else.
No,
Axel Rudi Cabana, there's not even a conspiracy theory about it, which is weird, because there's a conspiracy theory about almost anything.
Yeah.
There's no conspiracy theory about Axel Rudi Cabana being stitched up or something.
You're going to start one now.
And mental.
Exactly. No good argument.
Oh, yeah.
But look at the way people treat Rupert Lowe. This is just some random, but Rupert Lowe is an old heathen.
Yes! So old heathens back in Parliament, baby.
This is someone admitting their progressive politics is a religion. Right. We don't need to go back in time to progress our politics, just leave them in a corner to howl to the moon.
That's the point. We're not trying to get progress. Progress is Axel Rudi Cabana didn't do anything wrong.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And Zoe Williams went on Ian Dale's show, and it's hard to outlive Ian Dale.
What?
But she managed to. She's a lefty journalist, and she says some nonsense.
We've seen how ugly these, as soon as these kind of absolutely toxic, binary, uncompromising debates are thrown into the political arena, we have nasty, nasty fights about them that last for years, get us nowhere, and take us away from the business.
Democracy,
no, it's not about democracy. I'm sorry, Ian, that is not true. You know, we've lived through the last 10 years of these binary politics where the right-wing outriders like this Reform MP come in and they're like, hey, why don't we just secede from the Human Rights Act? Why don't we just leave Europe? Why don't we just have the death penalty? And we all spend years chasing our tails about these ugly ideas, and nothing gets done, and everything is worse afterwards.
Whoa. No, you're upset because you lose these arguments, and we win these arguments.
Yeah.
If you're going to give the example of Brexit as a great example, we won that, you lost that. Cry about it. If you're talking about the ECHR, you're going to lose that too, and we're going to win it. And if it comes to the death penalty, if we're going to, I don't know, put it to a referendum or something, we're going to win that. Because we are literally going to put billboards of Axel Rudi Cabana wall to wall in this entire country and say, you want him alive.
Yeah.
We don't.
We're already ahead before the campaign's even started.
We haven't even started campaigning.
50% to 45%. Yeah, and notice she also said this Reform MP, so she's completely ill-informed because obviously hasn't been for ages.
It's also very revealing as well, right? Like, nothing gets done. You know, we're going to chase ourselves. Nothing gets done. It's like, right, but everything you're doing, everyone hates.
And also,
like, everyone actually despises what your attitude and your politics and your mindset does. Everyone hates it.
We did get it done. Like, everything's been done. Like,
and it's not like the Liberal establishment's getting loads done.
Oh,
if it wasn't for these pesky referendums,
whatever they are getting done, everyone hates.
Yes, true.
Everyone looks around at their towns now and goes, "This is awful. Yeah. This is dreadful.
And also,
my tax is being spaffed up the wall on nonsense.
And foreigners.
And they can't stop a dinghy anyway."
Sorry, just a quick thing. Yep. This is why they're constantly going on about, well, we've got to be against division, because division means two sides of an argument, and we have to settle on one side. And it's division that led to Brexit. It's division that leads to them losing arguments. And so that's why they're so against the concept of division. I'm sorry. No, I'm for division, because we're going to win win the arguments and you lose the arguments.
Division is democracy as well. Yes. Because like we can't put things to a democratic vote. Yeah, exactly.
Point. So,
what? I know, yeah, Ian Dale actually making a good point for a change. Yeah. That's madness, isn't it?
She said actually an even more mad thing. So,
Really?
Just to go, because this is so relevant. So it's two main points in here. One is this idea about redemption. Now, you can decide what she really means. I think she might mean rehabilitation. Then she makes this classic half-baked appeal to a Christian morality that she doesn't actually understand. So it's worth playing all of it. Let's just play.
Answer. There isn't, you know, there is a moral case here about the right of the state to take away the life of a human being. And there is a case that, however gruesome and appalling a person is, everybody is capable of redemption. Everybody is, you know, we've all read about the most terrible criminals in Grendon, the world's first psychotherapeutic prison, and the kind of the way the human spirit can turn a corner. There is absolutely no justification for the state to take away.
Well, I'm not in favour of the death penalty, but to think that somebody like Rose West or Fred West can be redeemed and rehabilitated is just for the birds.
I know, but it's not for you to say. It is.
Actually.
I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm not religious, but I know it's not for you to say. It's not for me to say, and it's not for us to take anybody's
opinion.
Anyway, listen. That's not even.
So she again goes on and says it's half-baked religious idea. So she's all over the place. One, the idea that someone like Rudy Cabana can be redeemed is so obscene. But two, the idea. Oh, I know that it goes against religion. Well, it doesn't, which we can get into.
Yeah, which religion?
Yes, it doesn't. But this is where it got complicated because I've shared this on Twitter, and Rupert Lowe said that Rudy Cabana is not capable of redemption. And so when the death penalty is restored, he should be the first to receive it. And this, some people got kind of theological about it. Ricky Doolan replied to me and said, even Rudy Cabana can be forgiven by Jesus if he's sincerely repentant.
Yeah, well, he can turn up and make his argument, can't he?
And yeah, he says we should never try to play God. I made some arguments to him. I said, well, he can repent, but we can still uphold the death penalty. The two are not in contradiction. And I said, the alleged boiling water attack shows he's not repented. And then I said her vague argument makes me suspect she means rehabilitation, which I think she really does, rather than spiritual redemption. Because with spiritual redemption, so Aquinas said that actually if you're going to be executed, you're more likely to repent because you know your death's coming. It actually encourages it. If you're talking about the spiritual plane, and if you don't even at that point, then you're really wrong and who was beyond help anyway. So this lefty idea, they're mixing up rehabilitation and redemption, I think. You can be redeemed in the eyes of God, but we can still, as a state, execute you.
Sure, God can make his own judgments about Axel Rudy Cabana when we send him there.
Yeah.
And this is literally what it says in the Bible. He who kills man should be killed by man, or something like that.
Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. It's after Noah in Genesis 9:6. Yeah.
Checkmate, Christian. No, not even Christian. Christian's not again. Atheists trying to weaponize Christianity against Christians. But also, this whole thing about, oh, well, he could be redeemed. Why would we want to rehabilitate or redeem someone who murdered three children?
Exactly.
Like, sorry, I'm not seeing why we would want to do that. I want to see him hanging until he is dead.
Yeah, and they don't know why. Their arguments are so half-baked. And if you do want some of the arguments, there's a good article from Ed Fazer. He's a Catholic, so it's very Catholic. But it's if you may or may not be Catholic. But there are many arguments against it. You mentioned Genesis 9:6.
Yeah.
There's also Romans 13. The governing authority does not bear the sword in vain. He's a servant of God to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer. That's St. Paul. Pope St. Pius V made a great point. People say there's a commandment against murder. Well, he said, no, that's not murder. That's the state who is righteous, stopping more murders and deterring murders. Yes. So it's actually consistent. There's also Aquinas, as I've said, who made the case for it on the grounds of redemption. And there's so many cases like that. So I just want to address that because there's this half-baked thing. Oh, you're a Christian. You can't believe in death penalty. Yes, you can.
In fact, you're kind of spiritually obliged to believe in the death
penalty. Yeah, there's certainly a strong argument.
It's literally in the Bible.
And on natural law, they've committed a murder, so we have the right to take their life. That's also the strong argument, which we discussed earlier. Yeah. Retributive justice. There's loads of strong arguments for it. So let's not just... It's just so half-baked, this idea. Oh, it's just a glib. The glib...
It's the fact that she's appealing to a morality here. Because I'm sorry. One, I don't share your morality, right? There is a... I guess we'll call it a right-wing-style morality, like a sort of Nietzschean view, that no, we have to allow the catharsis of the family of the victims to gain their ability to essentially view the world as just again. Because when he is allowed to take the lives of their children and he does not have to repay in kind, Why should the family of the victims not feel that the universe is fundamentally unjust? Why should they not feel that way? Obviously, they're going to feel that way. Like, and obviously, there's going to be this essentially moral impulse in them to say, well, I should be rectifying this.
The thing is,
we kind of have a moral obligation to bring this back. It's essentially a blood guilt on Axel Rudy Cabana. So it's like there are moral arguments as to why it should happen. Yeah. It's not just the other way.
You easily expose our arguments and you end up realizing in many cases they don't believe in retributive justice, as I've said, at all. They only believe in rehabilitation. It's like, what do you believe in? Why, when you reach this worst crime, does all logic and principle go out the window? We'll fine you for this, we'll imprison you for this, here are all the punishments. Oh, we can't do that one though. What?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. It doesn't stack up. If you embezzle a bunch of money, you get fined or you get locked up or whatever.
But also, they're appealing to things that they don't even believe in, for starters. Mm-hmm. But also, I reject the premise of that as an argument. Why can't we transcend this religious argument against it? Like, don't even entertain it. You know, yes, you could weaponize it. Exactly. You can weaponize it against them. Sure, fine. But reject the premise entirely and say, no, we can transcend that, right? We can rise above that and say, well, no. We're as a society, we've progressed. As a culture, we've progressed, and this doesn't fit the current sort of cultivated society that we have now. No, so reject that. Bye bye. You don't believe in it anyway. I'm not going to just. I don't know.
I'm not going to entertain it.
You're saying the secular case for the death penalty by saying, oh, it's progress. And
there's a more there's philosophical arguments for the death penalty.
Yeah, there's philosophical.
There?
Like, there's rather Christian. Than
just going back to the
Odinist.
Yeah, but I'm saying even when they make that appeal to Christianity, it doesn't stack up because case in favour. Yeah, philosophically, it doesn't work on any level, which is why the wisdom of the British people, Vox Populi, Vox Dei, they say let's bring it back. But the MPs, just the glib MPs, are like, no, it's bad, and it's bad because we've heard it's bad, right? We know it's bad. We don't even know why. We just know it's bad.
It's because it feels like an ultimate authority, right? Because what the sort of progressive left always want to do is essentially make everything feel fluffy and fuzzy, and so no one's really being forced into something. It's like, well, you know, we're going to try and redeem him in prison. Maybe he'll get out for good behavior and stuff like this. Like, they always want everything to be a choice in some way.
Yes, and consent.
Yeah, exactly. Consent.
And if you're saying, we're doing this to you because you've done wrong, that goes against their whole ideal.
Exactly. And so, to them, it just feels icky. And to that I say, I don't care. I want him blood-eagled, all right? I don't care about your feelings on this.
Yeah.
I want serious punishments and pain for these people.
Hung, drawn,
and by the way, you know, it's a horrible thing. I watched Dead Man Walking just to remind myself, like, it's a horrible thing, death penalty, but killing three kids is worse, so it has to be done.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just imagine the horror in those, like 20 minutes or however long it took, the absolute horror of him plunging the knife over and over into the bodies of children.
Yeah.
Like, you know, literally like 7 or 8 year old children. And it's just, look, you are on the side of that when you say that we shouldn't do something to bring that to balance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, I watched that film, it's a Hollywood film, Dead Man Walking. I was like, okay, it's making the anti-death penalty case sort of broadly, but then the guy only repents when he knows he's definitely going to die and can't wriggle out of it anymore. Yeah. So it proves the Christian premise, which is, it's just funny. But
now he can go to heaven.
Yeah, and they're partly aware of that maybe. But yeah, you're right. When you think about the reality of it, when you learn how many times he stabs somebody, he goes, you're like, what are you even talking about? Yeah, we have to do this.
So you're always thinking in some sort of abstract way that the events no longer matter. The events of the thing no longer matter. The horror that they forced on someone else. You're not concerned about their lack of consent. You're not concerned about their rights. You're not concerned about the station of the victim. You only see the perpetrator as the victim because now we have the opportunity to bring him to justice. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it so much.
Well, me too.
Anyway, do we have video comments today, Jack? Okay, do you want to get them up? It's been revealed that the Treasury Minister, Michael Portillo, I think former Treasury Minister, carries a sawn-off shotgun to constituency meetings, corners children in parks and chews their cheeks. What? Oh, it's since been discovered. Oh, right, again, that's a parody from Max. But thank you for the large donation. Much
brilliant.
I'm still thinking, what is this? That's the point, isn't it? They make up a thing to try and make you sound bad. But the thing is, what they made up about Rupert makes him sound good, and the public would broadly agree with it. Because, I mean, like, no one wants illegal immigrants coming across, and half the people just want the death penalty returned. If you're like, yeah, so basically Rupert's promising gunboats in the Channel, Yeah. I bet I poll them, YouGov.
It's incredible.
Should Rupert Lowe put gunships in the channel?
Should we have the Marines?
They, yeah, it's almost cinematic that we have literally one MP that represents the people. It's almost like a Darkest Hour where like there is one person, like, oh, not him, you know, it's Churchill.
Yeah.
Rupert Lowe's literally the only guy against the whole jeering crowd. It's insane.
And I love the fact that he just doesn't care about their opinions either.
Right, right, right.
I don't respect any of you people. They seem to lose the difference between man and God's law, yep. Mm. A parade through the town to the stocks and gallows on the weekend might even revive the high street. Yeah, I mean, I'd turn out for it. Don't know about you.
Go have a coffee and a knife.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sell tickets, raise revenue.
Yeah. It's more complicated than that. Is just not wanting to press the fix everything switch. Oh, that's so true as well. Like, just press the fix everything switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just flog them through the streets and then fucking hang them. And we will have a better society overnight. Like, imagine how many criminals are just committing crimes because they know that if they get caught, they're going to get a suspended sentence.
Yeah, or nothing. If you're shoplifting, it's nothing. It's like, right, stocks for a day.
Yeah, stocks for a day. Or if you do something violent, you get flogged. So, you know, you've got 10 lashes or something. You're going to be like, okay, you're going to see that guy getting lashed for the first time. You're like, right, we're not doing that, bro.
Mm.
You know, we're not doing whatever, you know.
That's what I always say. You don't have to do it once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do it very often, you know. And my God, would it be great content. Anyway, let's get to the video comments.
I really think this says a lot about the state of things. The local council building here has a Black History Month flag flying. And just opposite it, a bunch of England flags, obviously not put up by the council.
Based. Let's get to the next one.
As there have been so many black pills recently, I thought I would just send this in to cheer everyone up.
Has this ever happened to you? Introducing the Slob Stopper. Forget messy spills and unplanned accidents. Just slip it on and enjoy your busy lifestyle. Perfect for your commute and everyday use. Made with polyurethane laminate fabric, the Slob Stopper absorbs on one side and is waterproof on the other, with two layers for double protection.
Wow.
Amazing.
It's the idea that the chick walking down the street like suddenly thinks you're cool because you had that.
You've got a bib on.
Yeah.
He did still get it all over himself, but it didn't stain anything.
That's ridiculous.
Let's go to the next one.
I just can't bring myself to care about student debt. If you're smart enough to go to university, you should be smart enough to choose a pathway that will earn you enough money to pay off those debts. If you've chosen a career that's worthless, then you, as the student who chose that worthless career, should be the one who damn well pays for it. I find the debt forgiveness aspect of student loans to be utterly disgusting. You made that really shit decision, and you should be the one who pays for it.
Starbucks baristas called out.
But they aren't. We pay for it. That's the issue. That's the problem, right? We subsidize this ridiculous industry of education that is the universities and academia. We subsidize all of that. It's absurd because there are people that will never pay back their loans that we pay for. Brilliant.
That's what he's saying.
It's why it's so annoying that the amount of foreign nurses and doctors that we employ, and yet we're still subsidizing new homegrown doctors and nurses. That's a complete false economy. Like, at the very least, allow them to work so they can pay back their goddamn loan. That's nonsense, isn't it? Oh, just send them abroad. Nay, what?
It's worse in America as well. Way worse. Student debt is like 4 or 5 times higher than what they're
getting. It's insane.
It's actually mad. Is there another one? I think that's a no. Omar says, no kings, but Hassan thinks the perfect society has a lifetime ruler with total unilateral control of the country. I hope his monkey paw wish comes true, but in orange. Well, this is the thing about Hassan. It's just like, this, how to describe it? Like, it must be some sort of big act, right?
Mm.
His entire career must be some kind of performance piece, because there's no way you would be that stupid. Like, at least in America, the government will never, you know, arrest him for things he says on his stream. He might get deplatformed, which he won't, but he might, you know, he might find himself in trouble with the companies that, you know, who are making his merch or something like that. But it's not going to be the government that kicks down his door and arrests him for criticizing the US government. Whereas in China, that literally happened to him while he was there.
Yeah.
So it's just, and he wasn't even critical. So it's just,
He doesn't really believe in anything, though, does he? He's a LARPer through and through, right? Like, he's a socialist that lives in a mansion.
Yeah.
Right? So he doesn't actually believe in anything.
Yes.
Just a complete LARPer.
Alex says, Piker is a prime example of the normative nature of the left compared to the descriptive nature of the right. Hassan doesn't really love China as much as he says, but he wants to love China as an alternative to the West, so he acts though he loves it. Mm. Yeah, there was also a distinct feeling of inauthenticity with him being like, oh, it's so sick here. It's like...
Is it though? Do you believe that?
I don't feel like you really believe that. Like, you know, you're not exactly overflowing with joy. It feels like you kind of have to say it. Hector says, if you were to denaturalize Hassan, where would you send him? Well, in Turkey, which is where he's from. But, I mean, maybe he'd request China. I don't know. I don't think he has citizenship anywhere else. Well, he's a Turk, so he could get citizenship from Turkey. He was born in Turkey, I think, and then grew up in America. Mm. And then grew up partially in Turkey as well. Roman Observer says, I'm of the opinion that traditional Chinese culture, Confucianism, imperial bureaucracy, maps perfectly with communism authoritarian regime. They will never get rid of it. I actually don't know much about Confucianism, so I couldn't comment on that.
Born in New Jersey, but grew up in Istanbul.
Ah, there we go.
Turkish parents.
Yeah, denaturalized. Derek says, if China were ruled by British Hong Kong, then China would be awesome. Otherwise, Emperor's thumb down. Well, I mean, I don't have any personal desire for us to rule China or anything. But there's no doubt that it's just not what it was intended to be. Right? It was intended to be a communist state. It's not a communist state. So, you know, and also, it's got a dictatorship. Why are we treating it as if this is normal? Yeah. Anyway. So the rich man who is only communist in name likes the rich country that is only communist in name. That's new. Exactly my point. Exactly my point. In all fairness to China, they made an entire mock-up English town called London Town. It unironically looks more English than the real London.
Amazing.
Such things also exist in Pakistan. There is an England area of Pakistan, which is made by Pakistanis who live in England, move back, are like, I kind of hate Pakistan.
I'm going to make new Birmingham.
Basically. But the thing is, it didn't look bad.
It
actually looks better than Birmingham.
What are we doing? I hate it so much.
I know. I never understood the meme of Hassan having a tiny head until the clip of him explaining Chinese surveillance. Well, that's true. He's got microcephaly. Allegedly? I don't know, Hassan. Let's get some tests done. Michael says, when I was in the US Army, we used to joke that England had the greatest military in the world run on a shoestring budget. Well, that's always been true. Nate's point bears that out. England spent more on the Ukrainian military than they spent on the English troops deployed in combat. Mm. That's just a clear FU to the British people. Yeah, but it's always been the case. We've always had a tiny and underfunded military, and yet we keep winning. Omar says, it's such deceptive language to imply the money was lost, but it just goes to show how little people care about public funds. The numbers are so insane. The only way to relate to it is how much is taken from you on a yearly basis. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. It's like, you know, it's like, right, we're sending $28 billion to Ukraine. What does that mean? Well, look, if 1% of that was put in your bank account, you would never have to work again.
Mm.
If it was a bank error in your favor, and it was 1% of that, you would be unbelievably rich for the rest of your life.
That's why when you poll or you do sort of vox pop and actually ask leftists, like, you know, do you support immigrants living in hotels, they're like, yeah, absolutely. And you're like, okay, you know, would you put one up in your house? No. Okay, well, how much of your tax would you personally want to give to that? What? It's like, yeah, exactly. Like, if it's a material value, then it becomes more real to these idiots.
For anyone wondering, $4 billion a year. God, that's such a huge amount of money. Like, you know, if 4 million was put into your account by accident, you'd be like, holy shit. You know, like, it's such huge figures that you can't even properly conceive of how much we're spending. Russian says Ukraine corrupt. No, not Russia 2.0. Yeah, no, exactly. They're just a democracy, bro. They're just fighting for their democracy. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Carl's evil twin Vorsch says, don't forget the money that Ukraine funneled through the Sam Bankman-Fried's crypto exchange. Wonder who that money went to. Yeah, I know. That's another. Like, it's like he went to jail for it. He's still in jail, in fact, over this. Michael says, so Zelensky is like the cop in Casablanca. Corruption in Ukraine? Never. Takes a large bag of cash. Ben says, major corruption scandal breaks in Ukraine. UK, no problem. Have an extra 13 million to repair your energy section. Do we give them 13 million?
Oh, that might have been a development that happened.
Yeah,
did we really?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. It's just so naive to think that obvious, you know, that Zelensky's not corrupt as well. All of his best mates and high allies, personal businessmen are all corrupt. But he's not. He's the one good boy. Do we give him more money?
I just hate this government so much.
Right,
okay. So, 2 days ago, on the government's website, they posted, the UK is strengthening Ukrainian resilience ahead of winter at the G7 foreign ministers meeting. What we're going to do, because Ukraine have got so much problem, we've announced £13 million of funding to repair their energy sector so they get through the winter. While we are cutting payments to our own fucking pensioners. Just...
You can't hate them enough.
You can't. Literally, like, we're going to raise $500 million from farmers and tax the farmers.
Give $500 million to Brazil.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's like the government is schizophrenic. Like, I just hate them so much.
We've got a 20 billion black hole, but we need to do some carbon capture
for $22 billion.
So, you're mental.
Yeah, this is not a sustainable system, FYI. I didn't even know about that.
I didn't know about that either. Thanks for enraging us.
Yeah, I know. It's like 13 million of all of the amount of our money that they piss away. That's a very small amount, but it's the way that it happens.
Yeah.
Omar says, when Florida announces pedos will face the death penalty, the LGBT cry is homophobic discrimination. Yeah, what do they mean by
that?
It was a weird thing to react to, wasn't it? Cynthia says, just tell the lefties that the death penalty is extra late stage abortion and it should be acceptable. Yeah, that's another thing. The Labour government are like, we want abortion up to the point of birth.
Mm.
And so that's legal now in the United Kingdom, right? So it's like they heard something happen in California.
That'd be sick, yeah.
And they had to do it themselves.
I know, they want to kill the innocent and the unborn, just not the guilty.
Genuinely mad. Why is the establishment so insistent? Of seeing things from the criminal's perspective rather than the victim's.
It's called anarcho-tyranny, folks. We call it anarcho-tyranny.
It is crazy, isn't it? Because it's almost like they believe that only criminals have human rights.
Yeah.
They don't care whether you get stabbed or you get robbed or anything like that. 95% of crimes going uninvestigated. But if something happens to the criminal, we have to protect the criminal.
I would say they passionately, unconditionally love migrant rapists, illegal migrant rapists, but they hate a tax-paying, law-abiding British mum. That's the most hated person.
Correct.
That's where we are.
And I totally agree with Bukele on this one, where he's like, what about the human rights of the general population? Like, they have a human right not to get raped or murdered or stolen from or whatever by criminals. So we should lock them up.
Yeah.
And worse. Henry says, with some criminals, is prison even punishment? Is a bed, meals, and things like free console games and gangs to join?
Not in the UK. The UK's prison service, like, prisons in the UK are great. Like, they're fine. They've got mobile phones.
Yeah.
They're sleeping with the officers. It's mental.
Didn't Nigel Farage post about the guy who broke in and threatened to kill him? How he's posting TikToks from prison?
Yeah. How has he got a phone?
What are we doing, man? And yeah, we'll allow the male prison to be guarded over by a bunch of 20-something female guards. It's like, really? What might happen there? And it keeps happening, obviously. But they can't believe their fucking luck.
Prisons are a punishment when they're incredibly bleak and awful.
Yeah.
But ours aren't, so it's not really a punishment, is it?
Baron von Warhawk says, bringing back the death penalty isn't enough. They need to bring back public executions. Oh, hell yeah.
Definitely, I think definitely for the rape gangs, absolutely.
Yeah. We spend, I think it's about £50,000 per year on each prisoner, which is insane. Yeah. I looked the sum up, a while ago, but yeah, £50,000 per year. So everyone that we put in prison, quite literally, is their sort of financial life is more than what you get per year. The average Brit gets in a salary per year. I mean, that's mental. Their life should be awful. The amount that we spend on someone that's in prison should be $5,000 a year. They should be eating and drinking slop. It should be
awful.
It should be awful for
them. I'm sick of hearing about the prisoners' human.
That's not prevention, is it? If they can have lovely meals every
punishment
day.
Has to involve suffering. Yeah, that's what it comes down
to. Yeah.
You should punishment just be like,
well, we're just going
to
remove your freedom. Like, oh, okay.
You get to sit in a nice, warm, cozy cell and play your video games and watch TV and go on the internet.
Yeah,
it's like, that's what I would do if I had nothing else to do.
It's the same attitude as thinking that expulsion or you know, a suspension from school is a punishment for these kids.
No, you come to school for 1 week, young man.
Yeah,
great.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, and again, bring back the cane. Anyway, on that note, we're out of time, but do join us in half an hour on loadcs.com as we're going to be doing a lads hour. This, I don't know how, it's kind of going to be like, who would you do? Lads hour.
What?
But we'll
no one's consulted.
Yeah, I've not been told.
But we're going through e-girls, but not based on their looks.
Okay.
Everything about the e-girls other than their looks.
What's not
basically?
Sounds a bit sounds very PC. Feminist.
Their intellectual prowess. Can't wait to hear about the ego's intellect.
It's going to be funny. Dan's been working on it all day, and he's
amazing.
He's really proud of it. And his last lads hour was incredible as well. So I expect this one to be quite good. So join us in half an hour for lads hour, and we'll see you there.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.